Okay, let's start. It's not working. Okay, maybe this won't work. Everything seems on here. So we have been talking about virtual memory, which provides an illusion to the programmers that we have a very large memory space, physical memory space, even though the DRAM might be having a smaller capacity. And the way we were enabling it is by using page tables, which provides a way to take a virtual address and translate it to a physical address. The virtual addresses, they add the address space, the programs that see, it's very large, but the physical address that actually that has a limited capacity. So memory is divided into fixed size pages, and each virtual page has a page table entry. The page table entry, it stores the location of the physical page number. It has some extra metadata to say that if that entry is valid and some other permission bits. And all the page table entries, they are stored in the page table. When a program wants to access some memory, this valid byte says that if that page is, the physical page is already allocated or not. If the page is not valid, we trigger an exception, and at that time, OS allocates the physical page for that application. So basic idea here is even the virtual address space is allocated for different types of things in the application. Stack, code, heap, some part of the address space is reserved for OS. But this whole address space, the virtual address space, is not allocated until the application starts using it. For example, stack region. It's a large region in our virtual address space, and we allocate variables depending on how the applications are pushing things in the stack. But it could happen that only small amount of data is allocated in the stack space, and then there is a huge space where there is nothing stored. So in that case, this virtual address space, we don't allocate any physical pages for these unallocated pages. OS only allocate pages, physical pages, when the application starts using data in this virtual address space. And this is called allocating space on demand. So here we are showing one example, specifically how we allocate a page when we are pushing something in the stack. So here there we have these push queue instruction. What push queue does is decrements the stack pointer, and then it pushes this variable, whatever data we are trying to push, at the top of the stack. And the top of the stack is pointed by register SP. And let's assume that, can you actually hear me? And let's assume that this is our page table, and these are the page table entries for different virtual page number, and these are the allocated pages. So the top of the stack, it points to some page, like if you take the upper bits for the virtual page number, you see that, okay, there is a valid physical page here. But then when the application tries to execute this push instruction, the stack pointer would get decremented, and that is the memory address we are trying to push some data. So we will go through the address translation, and at that time, we will see that this page does not have any physical page allocated, so the valid bit is zero. And that's the time where there is an exception, that there is a page fault. And what OS does is, it at that point of time, it decides that what's the physical page it can allocate for this specific virtual page. And then it updates the page table entry. It stores the specific physical page number and the valid bit and the other metadata. And after that, when the OS is done with handling the page fault, the instructions start at push queue again. And the similar sequence of events happen again. So the register pointer RSP is decremented. We have a memory address where we want to push some data. So we have to go through the address translation to figure out what's the corresponding physical page. So we go through the page table entry. And this time, we see that, OK, there is a physical page. It's a valid entry, and that's the page. Physical page frame number we use to form our physical address. And this is what I have shown for just the stack, but in general, anything that we are accessing in our application, the space is allocated on demand. So nothing is allocated unless we actually try to access some data. So it also means that when we are loading a program, it's mostly just creating all these empty page tables where actually no physical page has been allocated for them. And only start when we start running the program and there are memory accesses going to different regions in our physical address, virtual address space, only then we face all these page faults, and in response to these page faults, physical pages are allocated to back up these virtual pages. And we also update our page table entries based on what physical pages we have allocated. So this leads to some other optimizations, like just the concept of these allocating space on demand for virtual memory. This also leads to some other tricks that we do while we are copying some pages. And the extreme case is copying a whole process. So for example, fork is a system call which creates a child process. And what it is supposed to do is it's supposed to duplicate or replicate every program state for that process. All the page tables, all the physical pages, all the registers, etc. But then, so think about if the program was using some megabytes of physical memory, like duplicating it can be really slow because it takes a while to read and write the memory. So what we usually is done is, for example, if we look at true process for the same application, they have some common things in their virtual address space. So for example, the code where we have allocated a region to keep the instructions, those should be at least the same. In the beginning, maybe the stack or the heap should be also the same, but as the child process starts executing, these may become different. But at least this region should be the same. And that provides an opportunity that now we don't have to create two physical pages where things are the same. So we can just have one physical page, but in the page table entry, we can say that both of the processes are pointing to the same physical page. So this provides a way that we don't have to duplicate all the physical pages. But then you can think about, okay, there are all these data like our variables, and maybe the program is executing some other data path. So things that we are allocating during the execution for the child process or the parent process or the same process where we just have two different copies, they can have different things. But what happens is when we're trying to copy a process, we don't want to copy all the physical pages because that's just really slow. So what is done is, first we just copy the whole page tables as it is. So they still point to the same physical address, same physical pages. So for the stacks, for example, when there is this parent process and child process, they will still be pointing to the same physical pages, but we will just create these new page tables. We will copy the page tables. So in this way, we have avoided duplicating all the physical pages, so they're still pointing to the same physical page. But for write, that is a problem, right? So when we write in some one application, it shouldn't change data in the other process. So what we do is, whenever we have all these pages which are shared, we say that these are read-only pages, even though we may eventually modify them. And when there is a modification, only then we allocate the new physical page for the process that is modifying the pages. So if there are things that we do not modify, pages we do not modify, they are still pointing to the same page from different processes. But once there is a modification, now it means that we have to modify the page for that specific process, so only then we allocate a page for that one. And this is called copy on write. So basically the process is, for let's assume that this is our page table for the first process, the parent process. And at some point of time, we decide that we want to fork the process, and there is now we have created another chat process. So what we will do is we will duplicate the page tables, but we will make this write bit all zeros. So now what will happen is, if for example, let's assume the new process is trying to write to some address, there would be a page fault, and then we will know that this child process is trying to modify a page which should be different from its parent's process. So at that point of time, the OS copies the page, allocates a new physical page, copies the content from the parent page, and only then it marks, it updates the physical page that now we have a new physical page for that virtual address. And then we also update the write bit saying that now this page has been modified. So once the OS is done with allocating the page, then we re-execute that write instruction. And this time, when we go through the page table, we see that, okay, there is a valid physical page, and we can actually write to that page, so everything is fine. So we just get the physical page number, translate the address, and go with the access. So any question here? Yes.
So what happens to the old physical page number?
The old physical page number. So that was using, that was getting used by two processes, right? Like the first one and the second one.
Yeah.
And the first one, it can still access that one. And for the new one, now it has copied the page, and now it has its own dedicated page.
So is it erased from the other
No, so the other one, it is still have the prior page. So there was one physical page. So for example, let's assume I have a page, or let's just take the stack example. So there was a page for the stack for this first process, and suddenly we decided that we want to fork it. So now we we just duplicate the page table. So that physical page is still the same for both of these processes. So if I'm reading something from the stack, it doesn't matter which process trying to read, it can just get that physical page number from the page table and read from that, read from the stack. But let's assume that suddenly it wants to, like process two wants to write to the stack. But we don't want to corrupt the stack for the process one. So process two is writing, it should write, but that should not change the first process's data. So that's why when we have a write, at that time we copy the first page and give it to this next second process. And that page that can be read and written by process two. Yes.
So is there ever a scenario like where you don't, like outside of this mm-hmm. process, where you don't want something to be able to be written at all, where this would like conflict? Like, do you need to be able to tell it that these are a copy and that's why even though the write bit is zero, you can reallocate and change that versus the write bit is zero, you can never write to this?
Yes, that is a very good question. Yes, we have to do that. So there has to be a difference that if this page is actually not writable, or it is actually being modified, it is just marked as copy on write. Yes. So remember that all these exceptions, they have some functions which we have to execute when there is a fault. So there are just different type of things happen based on some metadata that we set or reset in the page table. That's a very good question. Yes.
So when forking the process, mm-hmm. did you have to make another copy of the first process's page table?
I think visually we do that, but I guess what you're trying to say that we can optimize that also, right? The page tables can be same, where we say that only when we are allocating something, then copy the page table too. I'm exactly not sure if there is any option to do that. Do you know?
There will be a reason to do that when we talk about multi-level page tables. But right now, it doesn't make sense to do unless you assume that your fork process isn't going to modify the stack at all. Because once it modifies the stack, you need to copy the page table. So have different pages in the stack.
Any more question? Why is the mic not working? So the whole concept of virtual memory, it came from this intuition that we want to provide an illusion that we have a very large, infinite physical address space. But another way to look at it is if we have an infinite physical space. But when in reality we don't have it, some of the pages which we cannot store in our physical memory has to go somewhere. And that is the concept of swapping, that given that we have all these pages allocated in our for our different virtual addresses. It might happen that in real physical memory, we just don't have that capacity. And the way to think about it is if we can't allocate or if we can't put all our pages in the real physical memory, maybe we can put some of them in the disk. And when we need them, we can bring them from our disk to memory. So basically, this is called swapping, where the OS allocates space on the disk, and memory is actually a cache for this disk. So what's the difference between the cache that we have talked about before and using memory as a cache for disk? In caches, the cache block was around 64 bytes or something, but here, the block that we are transferring between memory and disk, that is a physical page. So if it's 4 kilobytes, that means that whenever we need to allocate something in the cache, which is our memory, that is a physical page. Another difference is these, we assume that our memory is fully associative. That means that whenever we are bringing a page from our disk, in memory, we can put it anywhere we want. And the reason is we have these page tables, which says that where we have stored it. So that we haven't limited that we can only place it in some specific region of memory. Another difference is the replacement is managed by the operating system. In hardware caches, what we have seen is there were some simple replacement techniques, such as least recently used or not recently used. And we had hardware support for those eviction policies. But here, this is maintained by operating system. And that also provides a way to have very complex replacement policies. So in hardware, if you want to implement some complex things, it takes more logic, and it may require more time. So instead of doing that, the replacement is managed by the operating system here. So the benefit here is because we don't have to implement it in the hardware, we could have very sophisticated replacement policies, which is just code. You can assume that you wrote a code for a very complex replacement policy. But the other things, so for example, when we are looking up a cache or we are updating some metadata, that is all actually done by the hardware. So essentially, this is more like a hardware-software cooperative process where the replacement decision is made by the operating system, but when we are looking up the cache or if there is a cache hit, those are the things that's done by the hardware. So now you will ask that, why is that? Why in normal, regular caches, everything is done in hardware, but here some things are done by the software, some things are done by the operating system. So I guess we talk about it here. So the main reason is when we are swapping a page in or out, that means that we are reading some data from our disk and then writing it back to our memory or vice versa. But hard disks are very slow. Typically, it takes milliseconds to access disk. Even if you think about SSDs, it takes around microseconds to access the SSD. But when we are accessing DRAM, it's some nanoseconds. So it's like 1000x difference in the latency of these two levels, memory versus disk. So when we are trying to replace something, or when we are trying to access something, if we have to access the page table every time, and then we have to maybe swap a page in and out based on what's happening in our page table. So these are the things we have to do when we are trying to looking up the memory and trying to figure out heat on this. So when we are trying to do these accesses, we don't want to involve our OS all the time. So these are the things, these are the common things that are happening, cache hits. And we want them to be very fast. So one principle of design is make the common case really fast. So that's why these are the things that is done in the operating system. But then replacement, it's supposed to be less frequent. So in that case, we are making a trade-off that because it's not happening all the time, then we will try to manage it on the operating system. And when there is a replacement, then it means that we have to read or write a page from the disk to memory. So there is a long process happening at that time. So maybe paying the extra latency for the operating system is not that bad. But the average case, the common case, is cache hits, which we want it to be pretty fast. So that's something we don't involve the OS. Any question here? Okay. So what actually happens with this swapping? So first thing is it's kind of very similar to allocating on demand. So when the operating system gets a page fault, it sees that the valid bit is not set. So there is nothing in memory, in our real physical memory. And then we have to figure out that where the page actually is. Then we have to read from the disk, and once, so that will actually take a while because disk is very slow. And once we have read back that page from disk to memory, then eventually the process would restart. Swapping out a page is what we will do is we will mark the page as invalid in the page table, and if the page has been modified, then we will copy it to disk. If it was not modified, then it means that the data is already there in the disk, so there is no need to copy. So one caveat that we have to always keep in mind that disk or SSD, it's very slow. So when we are trying to swap in or out a page, it may take milliseconds of time. And with milliseconds, you can actually execute maybe billions of instructions. So we don't want our program to stall at that time. So eventually what happens is when there is a fault and the page is getting transferred, we switch back the contents, context, and the processor can do other stuff at that time. So here we will see what's the timeline when this happens. So for example, let's assume we have program A, it has some pages. Program B, it also have some pages. And let's assume that this is the page that program A is trying to access, and it realizes that this page is not in the real physical memory. It is actually still stored in disk. So there would be a page fault that this page is not valid. And now OS needs to choose that what page it wants to replace from memory, and then fetch the specific page from the disk to memory. So first, let's assume that this is the page that OS decides to evict. And if it's modified, it needs to write it back. And then it starts reading this page from the disk. So this is our disk, and these are the virtual addresses. So once it, the first step for replacement is mark the evicted page invalid in the page table, and then it starts the process of reading that page. And remember that it takes a while to load this page from disk to memory. So after milliseconds of tens of milliseconds of time, maybe not ten, some milliseconds of time, the disk will raise an interrupt when it has finished transferring the page, and only then the program A would start executing. So whenever there is a page fault and we need to swap in a page, it means that the program is getting really slow. So that is why, even though we can swap in and out pages as much as we want, this is actually not that a great idea. So if we are swapping pages in and out all the time, then we are paying almost 1,000x more latency just for these disk transfers. So that's why we try to make sure that whatever pages we are allocating, they actually fit in the real physical page. And sometimes we allocate some swap space in our disk, but we try to make it as well. So this is the reason that even though the intuition behind the virtual memory is explained as swapping in the book, this is not used that extensively. So we want to have some swap space, but we don't want to make our programs 1,000x slower just to swap in and out pages all the time. So maybe if it happens very infrequently, maybe it's fine. But even then, I guess people are not that excited about swapping pages in and out. Any question here? Okay. So in the last class, we talked about there are two challenges with page tables. And one challenge was page tables are really huge. So let's see this example that if we have 48-bit physical virtual address and 39-bit physical address, and let's assume that our page size is 4 kilobytes, how much space do we need for our page tables? So first thing we want to know is what's the size of our virtual address space. That will tell us that how many entries we need in our page table. So if our virtual address is 48-bit, we will divide it by the size of our page, which is 4 kilobyte, and that means that we need this many entries. Then we need to determine that what's the size of each entry in the page table. And typically those are 8 bytes, so we have the physical page number, we have some metadata, and some bits are unused. So essentially that means that we have to take this number and multiply it by 8 bytes. So this is the size that we would need for page tables for one process. So it's like 5 to 10 gigabyte. And then if we have multiple processes running in our processor, each would need its page table. So the space required to even store the page table, it's just not feasible to have that much real physical memory. So we don't want to store all these page tables in the physical memory, where physical memory is supposed to store data. So it's not supposed to be used by all these page tables. So it's impossible to store PTE for every page. And we want to make sure that, or we want to come up with a technique where we don't have to store all these page table entries and use up all our real physical memory. And the intuition behind saving some space for page table is, in our virtual address space, we don't use the whole virtual address space all the time. And usually there are all these big chunks of empty space. So for stack, it will grow at some direction, and we have allocated large space in the virtual space for stacks, but most probably most pages are invalid. And same thing might be true for the heap. So if we have all these holes in our virtual address space, at least this means that we don't need to store the page tables for these regions. But now there is a decision to make that how do we know which pages are stored, which pages are not. So we need some kind of structure to say that, to provide that information. So basically the key idea is we don't want to store invalid pages, and then we need a structure which kind of tells us which pages are allocated, like which page table entries are present versus which are not present. So it's more like we have a key, which is the virtual page number, and the answer that we want to get is the value, which is the page table entry. And given this is the problem, you can say that maybe we can just use a hash table. So we can just take the virtual page number, hash it to some entries, and those we will just go through the chain and try to figure out if that page is present or not. So this is a valid option, but this is not commonly used, so it was used in some very early processors. But nowadays, this is not used. So when we are using hash, we have to think about the hash collisions and et cetera. But so essentially, what has been standardized is using a tree structure. But it's kind of a different type of tree. In the tree, the lookup is usually implemented in the hardware because the lookup will happen for every access. And the lookup should not involve memory, many memory accesses. So even doing 2 memory accesses is very expensive in compared to doing computation. So what we use in today's processors are these hierarchical page tables. So think about if this was my page table for the whole virtual address. Now what we will do is we don't want entries where we didn't allocate any page. So we will have these at first level page table, which says that what's the address of these page table entries. So essentially, we will take our page tables, and the first level entry will contain the address of each page table. So it's kind of different what we store in our first level versus second level. The second level here is still the same that we have seen so far. So it contains a number of page table entries, and within the page table entries, we have these physical page numbers and etc. But the first level is different. The first level here, each entry here, they point to each page table in our virtual address space. So, for example, if we don't have, like maybe there is this big hole that we don't have pages allocated in our page table. In that case, in the first table entry, we can just say that these are the entries which are not valid. They're not pointing to any page table. And then we just don't store all those page tables. So even though before we had these huge number of page tables, now this table says that some of them we don't need to store in memory. So let's try to see what are the contents. So this is the first level page table entry. And it's one page, and it contains a bunch of page table entries. But instead of pointing to a physical page where we store data, it points to a page where we store other page table entries, the second level page table entries. So similar to other page tables, we have valid bit, kernel bit, write bits, but this part is different. So this is still a physical page number, but it's not pointing to a physical page where we store data. It's pointing to the second level page table of second table page pages. Now, I guess let's okay. And it also means that now we need some of the bits in our virtual address to determine that given an address, what entry we need to look up in our first level page table. So we will use some of the bits in our virtual address to determine that. How we figure it out, let's get that into a bit. So now the second level page table, that is actually very similar to what we have seen. It has these valid bit kernel bits. And then we have all these physical page numbers where we store data. And similar to what we have seen, how we determine which entry we want to look up, we will use some parts of the virtual page number for that. So now that means that given the virtual address, when we get the virtual page number, we have to split it so that some part of it will index the first level and some part of it will index the second level. So let's assume that this is our virtual address. Some of the bits, these are page offset, and the remaining bits were our virtual page number. But now we have to split it into two parts so that the first part will, the higher order bits, they will be used to index the first level page table, and the second part will be used for indexing the second level page table. So what's the procedure to look up? So for example, let's assume this is our virtual address. This is our page table base register, and this is a two-level page hierarchy. So we will take this first part, virtual page number part one, and we will multiply it by the page table entry size and add it to our page table base register. So that gives us the page table entry in our first level. So we read back the page table entry, we have to split it, which we have to check the validity and etc. But now we get some physical page number from that page table entry. And that is something we will use to look up our second page table entry in the second level page table. So we will take the second part of our virtual page number. Then similar to whatever we did before, we have to multiply it by the page table entry size. And then we need to this base address for the second level page table, right? So that is what is coming from the physical page number that we got from the first level page table entry. So we add that, and then we have the address of the second level page table entry. We split it again, and the physical page number that we get, that's our physical page number. And the page offset comes directly from the virtual address, and that is our final physical address. Any questions so far? So we will do a bunch of exercise on this procedure. I guess once we have the physical page number, it's kind of same. We read back the data from memory and the instruction can move on. But the important part is there is this first level page table lookup, there is this second level page table lookup, and the whole thing, this is again becomes the part of the memory management unit. Before, when we had just one level, then we only had this, I guess, this part or a slightly different part. But now this hardware memory management unit needs to do all these things and go through multiple memory accesses to get these physical address. So another view to the same process is there is this first level page table which we index using our VPN part one, and that gives us the base address of the second level page table, and we use that base address and the VPN part two from virtual address to index the second level page table. That gives us this page table entry which contains the physical frame number of the data that we are looking. So that gives the base address of the physical page, which we index using the page offset. So it's the same process, but an alternate view. And you can say that, okay, we just use two levels, but why two? Why it's not three or four? Essentially, we could divide our virtual page number into multiple segments, but the basic idea is the same. So at the top level, the page entries point to the base address of the next level. And the bottom level, the page table entries point to the actual destination page. And each level, there is these validity and permission checks. So first thing we have to determine is, given that the virtual address, how should we split our address into parts that we know which bits to use for indexing different levels of the page table. So these are, remember that these are part of the actual physical page number. These are not different virtual page numbers. So let's assume that we have these 32-bit physical address, 32-bit virtual address. So for simplicity, let's assume it's the same. And our page size is 2 kilobytes. And we have two levels of page tables. Each page table is one page. And each entry is 4 bytes. And what we want to know that, given this address, how should we split up our address to VPN 1, VPN part 1, VPN part 2, and page offset. So first thing, page offset that we have seen multiple times, so we just take the these 12 bytes, because our page size is 2 to the power 12 bytes, so we need 12 bytes from our virtual address for page offset. But then we have to determine that how many bits we need to for VPN part 1 and part 2. So the way we want to determine this is, there is one page in the first level that stores all the page table entries pointing to the second level page tables. So it can, because it has 4 kilobytes of size and each entry has 4 bytes, that essentially means that we have 2 to the power 10 page table entries in the first level. So first level is just one page, and it contains the page table entries pointing to the second level. So since it can contain only 2 to the power 10 page table entries, we will need 10 bits for virtual page number part 1. Then in the second level, we get another page table, and we need to determine that within that page which entry we're trying to look for. So even then, we have one page and there are some numbers of page table entries. And because our page table size is same, that means that again, we have 4 kilobytes of page, 4 byte page table entries, so essentially we need 10 bits again for our VPN part 2. So if we split it up, what will happen is the lower order 12 bits will go to page offset, and the higher order 20 bits we will use for VPN part 1 and VPN part 2. Any question here? No? Okay. So we want to determine that given a virtual address and some configuration of page table hierarchy, how to access different page table entries. So before we go to the two level, first we want to go to one level example. And we have seen this before. So we have 6-bit virtual address, 6-bit physical address, and 8 bytes per page. Our page table entry contains 1 byte. So, and we have this base register address, which is 20 in hexadecimal. So we want to know that given this virtual address, how should we look up this page table? The example we had seen last class, we actually had the page table in the processor, but here we don't have the page table. The page table is stored in the memory. We have all the content of memory, so we need to determine two things. First, we need to determine where is our page table entry. We have to read that page table entry. And once we have the page table entry, we know we have to determine our physical address. So first thing we need to do is we need to write the virtual address in binary and determine the bits we need for our virtual page number. So our page contains 8 bytes. So 3 bits will go for page offset, and the remaining 3 bits will become our virtual page number. So remember that this is one level. So in order to determine that where is our page table entry, we have to take the base address, which comes from our base register. And then we need to determine that within that page, where is our page table entry. So these bits, the VPN says that it's the 6th entry, or I guess it's the 7th. Yeah, it's VPN number 6. So we have to multiply it by the size of the page table entry. And that will give us the address of our page table entry. So this is in hexadecimal 26. So we go to our memory, we read out the address 26, and the value there stored is D6. So this is our page table entries, so we will write it in binary. And here, what we have said that the first 3 bits in our page table entry gives us the physical page number, and then we have this valid bit. So that means that this is our page physical page number, and this is the valid bit. So this is a valid page. We will take the physical page number, and then we will get the page offset directly from this address. This means that this is the memory location we are trying to access. So this is our real physical address. And you can see that that means that we need to read out this location from memory. So we go to this 30, and the data that we are trying to read is BA. So this is this is the data we are trying to access using this virtual address. Yes?
Those 4 bits at the end of the page table entry mean anything?
No. So First of all, we made it 8-bit so that it's easier to do all the calculation. But even in general, like the real page table entries are 8 bytes, and some of the bytes are actually not used. So it has two benefits. One is the size of the page table entry becomes power of 2, which is easier to calculate. And also, if we have some unused bit, we can use it for some other things. So for example, maybe I need some sophisticated replacement policy. I want to track something else, so we could use those bits. So this is one level example. But what we essentially want to do is to know what happens when we have multiple levels. So let's go through this example, where we have 9-bit virtual address. So the virtual address is larger. The physical address is still 6 bits. I guess the rest of the things are quite similar. And we have these virtual address, which we want to use to read out some data eventually. But first, because it has two levels, it means that we have to read page table entry twice. And first step is given that address, we have to determine which part of the virtual page number we will use to index the first level. So if we read out, if we write out the address in binary, we have some bits, and remember that our page size is 8 bytes, so 3 bits goes away for page offset, and we have now some bits here for VPN, but we need to know how many bits we will use for part one. So the calculation is the same. Because the first level page is just one page, and it has 8 bytes, but each entry takes only 1 byte. That means that we have just 8 entries in the first level. So we need 3 bits to determine that what entry within the first level we are trying to access. So these are the higher 3 bits, which gives us that. And it says that it's 100, it's 4. So what we have to do is we have to take the base register value, which is hexadecimal 20, and then we have to take this number, the index of the entry, and multiply it by the size of the page table entry. That will give us the location where our first level page table entry is. So that's here, 0x24. So we go to this address and we read out whatever value is there. And the value is D4. So now we have the page table entry for our second level. And where the, as we have said, the first 3 bits says the physical page number, and then the fourth bit gives us the validity. So what we get once we read out the value from our page table, first level page table entry, is 1101. So this is our physical page number, and this is valid. So now we will use this physical page number to get the address of the second level page table entry. So how should we do that? So this is our PPN, so we take that. And because this is an index, we have to make sure that we multiply it by the page size to get the full address. So that will give us this base address of the second level page table. And within that table, we need to know which entry we are trying to access. So that is coming from our VPN part 2. So that is 110. So So we added to our base, the second level base value, and we get a memory location. So this is the location where we have our second level page table entry. So we read it out, and we get a value DB. So now this is our original page table entry, which will point to a real physical page. So again, what we have to do is we have to determine what's the physical page number, because it's DB111101. So the higher order 3 bits, those are our physical page number. And remember, the offset will come from the original address, so that is 001. So essentially, this is the memory location we are trying to access. So we access it, and here we read out the value. It may seem complicated, but I guess let's try to iterate again. So the first step is we write down the virtual address in binary, and we will use the VPN part 1 to read out, to determine what's the location of first level page table entry. And that is basically we have to take the base register value and also add the VPN part 1 multiplied by the size of the page table. I guess let's look at this here again. So for the first lookup, we take VPN part 1, we multiply it by the page table entry size, and we add it to our base table register. So page table base register says where the page table starts, but we need to know the location within that page. So that comes from multiplying VPN part 1 with page table entry size. And that gives us the address of first level page table entry. So we have to read out that page table entry, and we have to decode that page table entry in order to determine the address of the second level page table entry. So how to do that? The PPN from the first level page table entry will give us the base address of the second level page table, but we also need to determine within the page table which entry we are trying to look up. So that comes from VPN part 2. So that is what we again multiply it by the size of the PTE. We add it to the base address that we got from the first level, and that gives us the address of the second level page table entry. And once we read it out, then we actually can start formulating the real physical address that will come from the PPN will come from the page table entry, and the offset will come directly from the virtual address. So I guess we don't have time to go to more exercises, but let's try to see if this is clear, or should we do it again in the next class? Any question regarding this procedure? It's not clear again. Okay.
Yes. If it's more than 2 levels, what does the second level point to? Because there was a question about the quiz that was asking about what the second level, or what the first level pointed to.
So the first level points to the pages in the second level table.
Right, but are they?
If there are, there are the physical page number of the second level page table.
So that's constant. So that's the same, even if there are more than two levels.
Yes. So if there is third level, the second level entry would point to another page table instead of a physical page where we have data.
Then is that a virtual page, or it's still considered physical?
It is still a physical, because like it's the physical page number. So the offset, that's not there, but you have the physical page number. No question? Yes.
So when I read that problem, mm-hmm. I thought that when they said physical page number for the second table, I thought they were talking about the physical pages for the entries in the second level. But it was actually talking about the physical page where the second table is actually at.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Okay, let
other people leave and we can talk about it after the class.
I have a question for
Yes. Just one.